risk management. It's a way of spending scarce dollars in the most effective ways. Now the Science and Technology Directorate at the Homeland Security Department wants to help large organizations map their risk management cybersecurity strategies to their investment decisions. It's awarded two universities grants to figure this out. Joining me with more, Science and Technology Program Manager Erin Kenaly. Ms. Kenaly, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
This program is called CIRI. What does that stand for, and what are you trying to do here?
CIRI actually stands for the Cybersecurity Risk Economics Program. What we're really trying to do at a high level is improve the value-based decision-making by not only folks within the government, but also that broader HSE, those who own and operate and protect and regulate the nation's vital, you know, data assets and our critical infrastructures. So the way we approach it from a programmatic standpoint is looking beyond sort of the traditional economics view of incentives for cybersecurity, where, you know, we assume that people act rationally because we know that they don't. And we try and look at a broader array of factors, such as business and legal and technical and behavioral elements to cybersecurity decision making, so that in this way, our R&D that supports this objective can more effectively address both strategies and tactics for avoiding risk, for accepting risk, mitigating risk, and transferring risk through insurance, for example.
Should it ultimately, though, this type of analysis guide spending decisions for agencies or other large organizations?
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly one of our goals here. We like to think of our approach kind of along four dimensions, and number one is investment. So the four dimensions are investment, impact, value, and incentives, right? So investments, trying to understand through our R&D how and why both individuals and organizations are investing in controls that manage that cyber risk. We really don't have a good idea about that. And then secondly, you know, what's the impact of those investments on our actual risk and the outcomes to whether it be information or systems or people in organizations. That third dimension, then, the value that I mentioned is right now there's this gap between understanding cybersecurity risk and kind of what C-level folks understand from conventional business performance and kind of financial frameworks that guide their decisions. So doing a better job of mapping those two dimensions. And then finally, incentives. And that really overlays kind of the first three, which is to say, how do we encourage, you know, what incentives are needed to encourage not even optimal risk management, but just better risk management. And so again, those four kind of dimensions is what our portfolio of programs are focused on.
And for someone that wants to apply this idea of the risk economics, cyber risk economics, is there a methodology or a decision tree or a form that they follow such that all of these four different parameters, investment, impact, incentives, value, can be balanced? And that would help guide, here's where we ought to be spending our money on technology.
There's really no playbook, so to speak. The area is so large, and certainly our questions far outweigh our answers here. What we've done to sort of help guide researchers and stakeholders who will benefit from the research is we've recently published this capability, cyber risk economics capability gap research strategy, and in what that thought product does is it tries to put an organizing framework around the various questions related to cyber risk economics. So for instance, we approach it from kind of 12 areas related to entity risk assessment, systemic risk assessment, what are the impact of controls on risk, decision support, the role of the government from a regulatory perspective, what's the role of insurance in cyber risk economics, as well the role of law and liability. We also look at supply chain accountability, organizational effectiveness, information asymmetries, which is also related to data collection and mapping, and then finally looking at adversary behavior and ecosystems. So that's kind of our attempt to kind of blueprint the approach, but I think taking a very restrictive thou shalt map for folks isn't going to work because the issue space and the capability gaps are so large. And
sure,
there's, you know, part of R&D is we want to experiment. We want to try different things.
We're speaking with Erin Kennealy. She's a program manager in the Science and Technology Directorate at the Homeland Security Department. And a lot of these issues are addressed in various NIST publications from Commerce. Someone looking into this whole area of economics, would they find familiar themes that they might also find in some of the NIST guidance?
Yes, it's very complementary. So when you're talking about risk management as a topic in and of itself, it's very operational, right? It's all about processes and tools to identify and analyze and evaluate risks to assets, right? And looking at it, again, you think about the definition of risk, and it has to do with understanding the frequency and severity of threats and vulnerabilities to assets. So in a nutshell, so risk management itself identifies those gaps between the people and processes and technologies and whatnot. And certainly the NIST framework has been a great start in that regard. I think it's a little bit too early to tell how successful it's been. And we certainly have no shortage of cybersecurity frameworks. We've got ISO 27001. There's the CIS critical controls. We've got PCI DSS. So it's a bunch of frameworks, and they're good, and I don't want to diminish their importance. But the problem with frameworks is they don't connect investments in cybersecurity to outcomes. And that's where CIRI is, you know, trying to be complementary to these approaches by offering R&D and technology that measures and models and values the efficacy of those risk management tools and processes. So they're different and related and very complementary.
And within an agency, if they are trying to take this kind of CIRI analysis to undertake it, who owns it? Is it the CISO? Is it the CIO? Is it the agency head, or a combination of people?
Well, I think it's a combination, but at the end of the day, there needs to be high-level support. There needs to be a high-level champion for this. You know, a lot of these R&D efforts are very emergent and kind of bottom-up approaches, which is good, but they're going to go nowhere from the standpoint of an implementation and actual integration into business processes unless there is leadership up at the top that supports these approaches.
Now, the CIRI program just awarded a couple of grants to universities of about $1 million in total. Tell us where they went and what you hope to accomplish with those grants.
Sure. So those are the most two recently announced programs. We actually have five in our portfolio right now. Pretty excited about them. And as you can imagine, they touch upon different areas. I mentioned before the capability gap strategy is, I actually use that myself to help drive the execution of my program. I'll give you just a quick rundown of the efforts to give you a flavor for our approach. So one effort focuses on quantifying the value of cyber sharing data for cybersecurity. So the problem here that it addresses, is identifying what are those economic underpinnings and the levers for greater sharing. You know, we talk about data sharing all the time, and we have made advances. I don't think we're nearly where we should be in that regard. So we're trying to put economic terms around the value of sharing to help incentivize folks to do that. Another effort is crowdsourcing defense efficacy through gamified information markets. That's a mouthful. But what this program tries to do is understand the empirical and the experimental effectiveness of cybersecurity controls. And we do this through a gamified platform. So instead of encouraging sharing with regard to hunting advanced threats and understanding which controls work best against certain threats by, you know, getting lawyers in a room and talking for 6 months and devising MOUs and whatnot and going through that painful process, we've created a gamified platform to basically allow experts and analysts throughout the community to crowdsource their expertise to move forward on solutions in that issue space. A third project that we have is titled Comparative Value of Threat Intelligence Metrics. The problem here that this project is approaching is, you know, there's a whole bunch of of threat intelligence feeds out there, you know, dozens of them. And companies are spending a lot of money on these, but you can't compare apples to apples. What we need is we need a way to normalize and compare and assess the reliability of these cybersecurity threat indicators. And so this approach is trying to do that. It's trying to develop kind of a nutrition label, for lack of a better analogy, that can be kind of slapped on these different threat intelligence offerings.
Yeah, because a lot of them are public relations as much as really cyber
Absolutely.
Threat indicators.
And trying to understand what is a hand wave versus, you know, which product actually walks the talk is very difficult in the current marketplace. So we're trying to move the ball forward in this project by developing those metrics. A fourth project is developing a standard model for the costs of cybersecurity attacks. The need that this project is addressing is basically translating the incidence of attacks into harm to citizen consumers. Oftentimes, you know, you hear numbers about what's the cost of cybercrime and whatnot, and invariably, those costs often leave out the cost to citizen consumers, which is a big part of the marketplace. And so we're trying to come up with a transparent economic model of that cyber attack harm using some open data. And then the last project that I'll mention for now is it's titled Outcome-Based Cybersecurity Risk Management. So here, this harkens back to what something I mentioned earlier, which is understanding this causal link between our controls, our security level, and then the outcomes. Surprisingly, we really don't do a good job about that. I think in individual silos, understanding, you know, sort of controls and understanding threats and understanding vulnerabilities, you know, we do variably good jobs, but putting that all together has, you know, there's definitely a capability gap in this regard. So we've got some researchers who are working with an ISP and some other vendors in the cybersecurity community to develop an understanding of those outcomes.
And these different projects are spread among different institutions?
Correct. They're all spread across the board. Largely, you know, I think we're a little heavy on the academic, but we have some industry folks on those projects as well.
Sounds like you've got a lot of work yet to do here.
Absolutely. I mean, I wish I had an unlimited budget, especially if you look at the capability gap strategy and you look at all the areas that we do have gaps and we have the need for research. But, you know, we'll poke away at it. And I feel very strongly that the projects we do have, we're kind of punching above our weight, as it were, and confident that we're going to come up with some good results.
Aaron Kennealy is Program Manager in the Science and Technology Directorate at the Homeland Security Department. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
We'll post a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One.